Good morning, everyone. I asked the band to sing that last song today in the midst of our normal Christmas songs to remind us of our living hope. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Blessed be the one who gives life, the one who defeated death, the one who gives us unending mercy and grace every single day, the one who came as an infant, tender and mild, the one who was the promised hope, the coming Messiah, who indeed did come, bringing salvation into the world. Hope came, and hope will come again. As we look at Isaiah today and we see the promised hope, I want us in the back of our minds to be thinking about this hope that we still have in Jesus. He is coming again. And the truth is, this life as believers in Christ can be hard. It can be difficult. But in the same way as God promised hope in the coming Messiah to Israel in the Old Testament, he now promises us that Jesus will return. So keep that in the back of your minds. Last week we looked at Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. We talked about God's promise to send the Messiah in Genesis 3. How God's people have been waiting for over 2,000 years up until the writing of Isaiah for this coming Messiah. We talked about King Ahaz and how he ignored God's or Isaiah's counsel to call upon the Lord and ask for a sign. King Ahaz would rather trust Assyria than the Lord. And this sign that he didn't ask for was a virgin bearing a son. The son that we know as the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Go ahead and take out your Bibles if you haven't already and turn to Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to be looking a little bit at chapter 10 as well. As you remember, there are two kingdoms in the north that were aligning with plans to take out King Ahaz and Judah. But the Lord had different plans. Instead, he uses Assyria to destroy the northern kingdoms. And then Assyria makes a grave mistake. They boast in their victory as if they had done this in their own power. God says this in Isaiah 10, 15. He says, "Shall the axe boast over him who hews with it, or the saw magnify itself against him who wields it, as if a rod should wield him who lifts it, or as if a staff should lift him who is not wood?" It's at this point that Assyria begins to march towards Jerusalem, and the people of God are afraid. God tells them, "Do not be afraid." And then we see God's judgment on Assyria. Look at chapter 10, verse 33 and 34. "Behold, the Lord God of hosts will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The great in height will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one." This image of an axe cutting down an entire forest is a very, very vivid image. God is majestic and powerful, and Assyria never stood a chance. It's a picture of devastation. Have you ever seen a forest that's been completely destroyed before? In the early 90s, I remember Firestorm. Some of you may remember that. Some of you were long from being born yet. But fires engulfed most of eastern Washington. I was at football practice in high school, and I remember the firefighters would come in and take over our locker rooms. They would take showers, they'd go to the gymnasium and sleep for a couple hours and then go back out to fight the fires. And one day after practice, me and a buddy decided that we were going to go to his house for the weekend, and we got into his car from Creston and drove down to Seven Bays Marina where he lived, probably a 25-minute drive, somewhere near Fort Spokane. On the way down, there's this pretty steep grade. On the left side is all rock cliffs, and on the right side is just nothing but pine trees covering the hillside. The fire in the area was still pretty far away at that moment, so we thought. And this grade was the only close travel to Seven Bays. We started down the grade, got about halfway down the 3 or 4 mile trip, and I looked at my buddy and I said, "Matt, why do you have the heat on? I'm burning up." He starts laughing. "The heat's not on. What are you talking about?" It was at this moment that I saw one of the coolest, most frightening things I'd ever seen. Fire began to shoot over the top of the car. You see, the nasty winds had changed directions, and the fire that was miles and miles away had covered ground in mere minutes. It was now shooting over the top of the cliffs, over the top of the car, down onto the hillside of trees. Literally looked like little comets of fire. It would hit a tree and engulf the tree immediately. I looked at Matt and I yelled, "Go." I'm not sure what was scarier, the fire or taking 25 mile an hour suggested corners at 65. A couple days later, we were able to go back to the area, and thousands of trees were gone. The devastation was incredible. Fast forward a few months later, and I was again driving down that same road. I stopped right near where the fire had spit over the top of the car, and I was looking at the black hillside, and I remember the green grass was starting to come up in the midst of all the charred land, and there was a charred stump, and out of the side of it, I remember seeing little shoots of trees starting to come out of it. And this is a very similar image to what God shows us today in Isaiah 11. Go ahead and take out your note sheets. Let's read our passage again, and then we'll pray. Isaiah 11, verse 1. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people, from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea." Let's pray. Father, we praise you for our righteous branch who sprung up from the stump of Jesse, Jesus Christ our King. We ask you by your Spirit to illuminate our text today, to show us your glory, and to fix our eyes on Christ, our banner and our rest. Amen. Point number one. the Messiah's family tree. The Messiah's family tree. Look at verse 1 one more time. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. I was looking through some things this week, and I came across this stanza from a well-known Christmas hymn. I want you to listen to these lyrics. You may or may not recognize it until the chorus. It says this: O come, O branch of Jesse's stem, unto your own and rescue them. From the depths of hell your people save, and give them victory over the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. This old hymn draws our attention to the theme of hope. Hope in the midst of devastation. Life growing from the rubble. The branch or root calls back to a great Old Testament prophecy and its fulfillment. Jesse is the grandson of Boaz and Ruth, and he is the father of King David. Look with me at this prophecy of the Lord in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The Lord sets his love on David, the son of Jesse, to establish his descendants' kingdom forever. And it's through Jesus that this kingdom shall rule forever. Look at Revelation 5, verses 5 and 6. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." John turns to see this lion-like king, the root of David, but instead he sees a lamb. You see, the Messiah didn't conquer the way that everybody thought he would, like a mighty lion. No, instead he conquered as a lamb slain. This lamb, the branch of Jesse's stem, was nailed to a tree. He died in our place. He was buried, and 3 days later, like a root sprouting from a dead stump, Jesus rose from the grave, forever defeating death, delivering the final blow to sin. Jesus is both the mighty Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. Point number two, the Messiah's anointing. The Messiah's anointing. Verse 2, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." This Messiah will be called the Wonderful Counselor. And the Messiah will have the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him, Isaiah says. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from out from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him." Yet another prophecy fulfilled in Jesus. Isaiah tells us that Jesus will have the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This leads us right into point number three, the Messiah's delight. the Messiah's delight. Look at verse 3. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, Isaiah tells us. Jesus finds great delight in obeying the Father. You see, the Christian life as the world sees it is so wrong. The Christian life is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a life of desires and delights. Christ changes everything. He changes desires. Once we were slaves to sin, and our desires were completely and utterly ruled by it. But Jesus gives us new heart, and therefore new desires, new delights in him. We should seek to imitate Jesus. He was full and is full of justice, full of righteousness and truth. Jesus spoke up for the powerless, for the voiceless. We should defend the weak. We should keep our word. Love God, love others, delight in the Lord. Point number 4, the Messiah's administration. The Messiah's administration. Look at verses 4 and 5. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. This branch of David, how will he rule? Well, like we've already seen, he will do so by delighting in the fear of the Lord. Unlike King Ahaz, who did not fear the Lord, he did not love him, he did not delight in him. This branch, this king will love God. He will trust God. This king will know God. And he will not judge by what his eyes see or what his ears hear. Instead, he will see into the heart. And he will judge according to the truth. He will take care of the poor and he will deal with the wicked. He will be the righteous king, the faithful king, and his rule will be just. Look with me at Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'll say this, if Jesus wore the armor of God, then we as imitators should be doing the same thing. Point number 5. The Messiah's promise of rest. The Messiah's promise of rest. Look at verses 6 through 11. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people, from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. It's an amazing picture. I mean, wolves dwelling with lambs, lions and goats just hanging out, kids leading them around, kids playing with snakes. Crazy, right? Or is that how it was supposed to be? This is a callback to Eden. This is what it looked like when all was how it should be. Not only that, but it's also a picture of what it's going to be like when Jesus returns, when Jesus makes all things new. Universal peace, perfect peace. Sin will be no more. Sin will no longer distort reality. It will no longer control desires and delights. There will be no suppression of the truth. Why? Look at verse 10. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Jesus, that's why. Jesus, the root of Jesse, will be our resting place. He will give us rest. And he indeed now promises to give us rest. Look at Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This life, it's tough. And there's so much that can make us feel weary. Work, parenting, relational conflicts, illness. I can go on and on and on. Almost everything we do can at times exhaust us. Jesus is full of compassion. He calls to us to come to him. He promises to give us rest. He promises to come alongside us, to help us, to help bear the load of this life as we walk side by side. He is our great shepherd. And ultimately, this rest will come when we are with him in eternity. Verse 10 says, he will be a signal for his people. Verse 11 says, he will extend his hand to recover the remnant. Look at Exodus 17, 15. It says, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, 'The Lord is my banner.'" A banner in Old Testament times is something that identifies and unifies a group of people. Sort of like a military flag. The Israelites are saying, "The Lord is my banner." And this was a way for them to identify themselves with each other as followers of the Lord. A banner is also used as a rallying point for troops in battle. Isaiah 49, 22. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples, and they shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders." Victory has come. It's come in the person of Jesus Christ. Through his victory on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Jesus now stands with his hands raised, calling his people to come to him. The victory is his, and his people can now shout with joy. Look at Psalm 130, verses 5 to 8. "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More the watchman for the morning. More the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." The first advent, the long wait for the Messiah, culminated with the birth of a baby. The branch of hope. And Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father, and he has promised to return. So the second advent, we wait for perfect peace to come. Look with me at Revelation 21, 3 through 5. John says this, he says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. He also said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I know that this time of year can be really difficult for some. This joy that we sing about all month can be really hard for some to find because of the pain that sometimes this time of the year brings. But John says there will be a day when there will be no more tears. There will be no more pain, no more crying, no more death, no more sin, no more exhaustion. Perfect peace. Perfect rest. Perfect joy. And so I say rest in the branch of hope, for he has promised to come again. Revelation 22, 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. I echo that. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending the branch into the world. We thank you for his delight in you. We want to delight in you. We praise you. We worship you, the author of salvation. Father, you raise beauty out of the ashes. Oh God, help us to believe in your gospel. Help us to trust the branch of hope. May we cling to and run to him. May we find rest in him. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We love you. We pray all this in your precious name. Amen.